Welcome back to Unconcluded, and this is Sidebar for Thanksgiving Week 2017. I'm Sean Gerd. In the last episode, we spoke to Ethan, a man who believes that he saw the person of interest in Jennifer's disappearance. And the feedback from all of you about that episode was all over the map, from complete dismissal to thinking that it may be important. We even had one person who told us that they were going to stop listening to the show because they didn't like what Ethan had to say. But it's been our intention all along that as we talk to people, as we find things, and as we move along, that we share it with you. The good and the bad. All of it. And this thing only works if you guys are on the same page that we are at all time. And so, while maybe there wasn't a smoking gun in Ethan's story, or a direct connection that we can verify right now to Jennifer's disappearance, we still think it was incredibly important to share it with you. Especially those of you who have wondered about Ethan for all these years. The real-time part of this is that when we know about it, you know about it, for the most part. And so today, we're continuing with that, because we wanted to follow up with Ethan and the questions that you had for him about what he saw. Before we start, Scott has been a bit under the weather this week, so while he's working to get his voice back, I'll be flying solo for most of this. So here's that conversation that Scott had with Ethan. And I'll say up front, it's long. And Ethan does repeat himself at times. But we didn't want to cut out parts of the conversation that some of you might find important. So it's here in its entirety. Which also includes some foul language at times. So don't say we didn't warn you.
So I'm sorry to, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just didn't want to miss anything good. So you were talking about the check cashing place and there was no tinted windows. So you had a straight view. So explain to us again where you were standing in relation and which vents and where it was at Huntington on the Green. Because I think that some of us and some of the people out there listening.
I put the map on the Facebook and similar to exactly where he was standing. You can't see it in the picture. But it's totally fenced. If you were to do like a street view, that I don't know about now, but back then, that, and I would presume probably even more so now with, you know, because it is a high crime area. I lived there for maybe 3 years. I used to work with a Bright House, and I was pretty much in charge of collection. Like people would default accounts, and I would recover equipment and payments and, and that's how I made my living, and I kind of stood in that area because the majority of the work that I did was related into that zip code 32839 at that time, and I was also familiar with where she lived, Jennifer, because I remember at that point where it was a pain in the ass just to even not necessarily get in, but just find the apartments because it was so new, you know. But as far as the check cashing place at the time, they just had clear windows pretty much all throughout, except like where the counter was. Like, you know, I guess they had the glass plated, you know, counter like most check cashing places. If you look, I'm not 100% certain. But that particular, it was a really bad picture. I don't know if it was a bad picture or whatever, but the little arrow where I stated he was standing, I don't know exactly where her car was, but I don't really know where they found or recovered her car, but I'm presuming maybe it was pretty much in that same location. And then it's like a really weird setup over there because they have like little courts that dead end, you know. Right. So what you do is like, I know that you couldn't park by the pool, but when I saw the video, it looks further up towards the light where, cause I actually looked at it the other day And when you see him parking, it's going more towards where I pointed he was standing. Now, I don't know exactly what parking space or anything like that. And like I say, it, you know, I could be dead ass, you know, dead ass wrong. But the whole thing, with what I found odd, that stuck with me so long was the shoes, man. Just, you know, because if you look at the picture, the shoes don't match the body. He has some big-ass feet, it looks like.
Right.
You know?
So it had the same sort of shoes that looked too big?
Yeah.
It was
identical shoes, man. Black. They didn't match his body. They were, like, long. And, like I said, he was, like, pacing back and forth and not necessarily pacing back and forth, but like in that little space right there where he was clutching the fence, letting it go, debating with himself, and like the more that he stood there, and I wasn't even thinking like consciously about well, it's just a guy like, you know, like right off the bat. It was just the more observant that I became and then the more that I just started to, it was like, shit, you know, hey, there's nobody that goes, you know, the car was found and like it just started to come together. And then the more that I looked at him and I was like, wow, this guy really looks identical to as far as shape is concerned, you know, just other than white pants, but the white shirt, and the ponytail, that was another, you know, thing, you know, where that it was like a perfect round bun. I mean, dude, I got that picture, like, of his face, like, etched, you know, and the reaction, you know, just, and like I said, there's, like, some people, like, that say, you know, they could be right, you know, they could have been nothing at all, because it wasn't somebody that was homeless, it wasn't somebody that was dirty. It didn't seem somebody that was drugged out or anything like that. It's just, from my perspective and from what I truly, truly believe, just the shape, the size, and you know, that's like I said, something that I grew up with. You step in a ring. Not only do you size somebody up, you can tell whether they're stronger than you or they might be stronger than you or, you know, like, you know, whatever the case may be, and the fact that, like, it was just something that I was just watching, and then I just took it upon myself to, like, leave the line, and I felt that that was more important. And my only regret was I should have probably just tackled him there, and, you know, I always thought that, like, I should just have tackled him, and, you know, a police report would have got made up at least, you know what I mean? Just...
Do you think if you saw this person again, you'd recognize them?
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
And you said they had like a man bun type thing on the back of their head?
Not, almost like a feminine bun. I'm not saying he was like a transvestite or something. It was somebody with very girlish features almost, but almost like penciled in or very thin eyebrows, like almost perfect, like where they get like threaded or something. And
how confident are you that it was actually a man?
By the hands, by the way that they walk, there was no breast there or anything like that. I remember like definitely, like, hair, like, pulled back to the, like, as tight as you can get it. And with a couple of red highlights, like, almost almost a maroonish gray highlight, like, but, like, little streaks. Like, he looked long enough at me, and it was, like, sunny, which was even more odd, you know, because... And usually at that time, there's not necessarily a high volume of people that walk through there. But on that particular, like on that side, trust me, I know the area in and out, because I would do 30 to 40 disconnects and recover, like, equipment from people's houses that just couldn't pay their bill. And so, like, all those apartments, like, I had to find where the actual cable hookup was at that time. And so on that particular corner, you don't have a high volume of people walking, other than maybe when it's a school day. Across the street, like, if you cross the street where the metro is, where the metro is now, there's always right. people there, because at that time they had a Winn-Dixie supermarket. Now that's gone. And you have the bus stop. And then across the street, you would have drug dealers selling weed and shit like that. I don't smoke, but I just know, because every time I would go across the street, because there's a Spanish, like a small mini market, and they would sell hot food in there. And every once in a while, I would go in there to, you know, buy a plate of food during lunch or whatever. And they were always offering me drugs. So, but on that particular corner where he was standing, you never really see too many people, like, walking through on that side, other than maybe, like, the people that actually live there.
Right, right. So, did he have any tattoos or piercings or anything that you noticed?
No.
No?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not going to say something that I'm not certain about. The only thing that I'm certain about is his shape, his form, and his face, his hair, his height. I gotta go. I guess because being now that I'm thinking about it, like the grass and the sidewalk, and the way that it kind of like it. Let's take if I'm standing on the actual sidewalk and not the grass, he's down probably about 2-3 inches, maybe lower than I am. So I got to go with, he was probably about 5'4", 5'5", at best. Because when I'm a tall guy, you know, not tall, but, you know, I'm 6 foot, I'm not 6'1". And when he came up, and when he turned towards me, and covered his face and started running, he seemed definitely a little bit shorter. Because you got to understand, like, it's all sometimes like bits and parts comes back to me. And when he was running, I would say he couldn't be no more than 5'5", 5'6", you know?
Okay. So when you were working at Mosaic, because you said you did jobs in Mosaic where Jennifer lived, correct?
Yeah, but I couldn't give, like, real, like, it was sparse, because it was relatively new, and I think, like, people that actually for what my responsibility was, there wasn't too much activity for me to actually go in there. That was more like for people who installed, you know, like
okay.
You know, new residency. New residents and they're acquiring the service. I'm there to, like, shut you down and you know, take back because of default payment, you know. So
was it easy to get in?
A couple of times, yeah.
Was it easy to get in and out, like, security wise?
Yeah, I think, like, much later is when you would have, like, somebody posted up in the middle, like, upon entry. Like, there's a gate, you know,
right.
And, like, two single lanes, one going in and one going out.
Do you ever remember seeing any
bike? But at that time,
like,
no.
Security guards?
I remember going there, and I can't really speculate, like, how new it was, but it was still relatively new, because I remember there was still a lot of construction going on. And I don't remember having to talk to anybody to get in, you know.
Do you remember any bike security guards at all?
No, not at all. Not that I can recall. I just remember, like, the gate being open and me just being able to drive in and try to find the address that I was looking for. I've always stated that, you know, I was telling my friend, but he's, you know, people will tell me, oh, well, maybe he's like, you know, a crackhead or something. No, man, crackheads, you know, I grew up in New York, man, like in the crack boom era. I've seen every type of hustler, con artist, you know, Stevie son of a bitch that you can imagine. People selling soap chips as crack. So I grew up around that, you know, and I was just fortunate that I didn't like the idea of jail and kind of stood away from that and got into something that took me off the streets, which was boxing. And it's just something that was always, like, I just wanted to express what I saw to maybe somebody who appreciated it. You know what I mean? Like, I did call the cop, and he said, yeah, you know, like, you know, it sounds like, you know, it's odd. Like, he listened, not probably to, like, every detail where I was able to just, you know, blurt out, like, the whole entire scenario from the moment that it started to the very end. You know, it was just like drabs of it, I guess, that he absorbed, and he kind of like, you know, that's odd. And it never came down to, like, you know, and I was just, the fact that I say, like, okay, like, I was willing to even do a sketch, because that face, you know, I just, when it turned towards me, you know, when you lock eyes with somebody and you're able just to grasp their entire feature, and that's what I got from that, you know? That's what I got from that. And I don't want money.
You don't have
any.
No, go ahead.
No, I was saying, like, I've always stated, like, even I think, like I said, you know, I don't want to make it seem like I've posted, like, you know, like on maybe like a video that was interesting, and it seemed like just somebody just trying to do, you know, like a crime thing. And I was just appreciative of the fact, like, I always stated, even when I talked, I guess, like, God, you know, God bless the parents, man, because it's
so
just
you
something
remember
that
the,
I'm appreciative towards you, like, that I was able to just explain it, like, in detail, and it sounds like, you know what, I could be 1,000% wrong, but no one will ever tell me different from sizing that person up, studying them, and if I could size somebody up when they step in the ring, and that takes all but 10 seconds, me just in a span of 4 minutes, you know, and putting two and two together, and pretty much, like I said, if you look at the video, he has to take a walk towards the pool, and where that car is parked, it's pretty much in the same area where he was standing and debating with himself. I mean, this just seemed like a guy, like, it's a fucked up comparison, but the only comparison that I could think of is, like, Gollum from Lord of the Rings. You know, like, that's what it's, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, that's, you know, like, when he's, like, two people in one, where he's just talking to himself and debating with himself and just going through these emotions. And when I, you could kind of hear it, like, when I got out the place and I was within earshot, you could just hear, like, everything he was saying, you know? You know, like, why, you know, just why, who says why? Why for what reason? You know, I mean, right. I don't think it was somebody maybe that would just stand at that particular spot with, you know, you know, I don't think it's somebody who got hit by a car, that particular, you know, thing. I don't think it was that. I really don't. And the fact that I was able to observe this person for about 4 minutes, and then before I reacted, why, you know, putting it in my head, I want to get a picture of this guy. Like, you know, the crack was, you know, I probably should have just tackled his ass, you know, just put him to the ground and let the cops come sort it out. Because after he ran, I dialed 911, like, right away, and I explained to a cop, I said, dude, that looks just like this fucking guy on the video, just like him. And he's like, you know, they took down, like, I don't know what he did. He just called, and you know how cops are.
Yeah, do you remember his name? Do you remember
I never
the
saw
cop's
that
name?
Guy again. Never saw him again. Never saw him again.
Do you remember the cop's name?
No, man. It's I don't even think he took a report. He just wrote something on some paper, and I explained what the guy was dressed in, you know, what his hair looked like and all that. And, you know, just they got more important to do in that neighborhood, you know, probably.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to the audience out there, or in particular maybe, you know, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a couple people on there, and again, I think people just he must have something to do with it. He's trying to come clean. He has something to do with it. What would you say to those people?
Did somebody say that?
There's a couple people on there that sort of, yeah.
That's funny.
So what would you say to that?
I would say, hey, to each his own, man. You know, things are like assholes. Everyone has one, man. I'm a Christian. I can attest to, I have friends that I've had for 35 plus years. My kids adore the hell out of me. Okay, I have a son, 21 years old, in Valencia. My daughter's with me three days a week since she's been 2 years old. I gain nothing by this. The only thing that I felt compelled to get my story across was in the hopes that the Kessie's family has closure and everyone can meet in heaven, man. And I don't want money. I don't want fame. I don't need anything. I've had a great life. I have no felonies. I have no misdemeanors, but I have two misdemeanors, but they're like bar fights, but they don't count. But pretty much I've been a hardworking individual. I work for AT&T, and I'm golden, man. I got whoever just thinks I'm not a detective. I could be 1,000% wrong to the audience. I gain nothing by it, but I'll always believe in my heart that I could sketch that face if I could draw, and I saw what I saw, and I'll stick to my guns with that, and the only thing I could do is just hope that they get some closure in this lifetime. And if not, then the after, and this lifetime's pretty short, so it goes pretty fast.
If we're able to get a sketch artist that would agree to sketch, would you be willing to do that?
Dude, I absolutely would, man. I absolutely would.
Okay, we'll work on that, and I'll stay in touch with you.
And I just want to say also that I do appreciate, like I said, it's just something that's always been there. You can look up my history online, stupid stuff, me commenting on fights and stuff like that. This is just one in particular scenario that I happen to see, man, and I just happen to be there, and with a clear head, I just was able to see what I saw, and people can make whatever they want of it. Sometimes I say to myself, you know, maybe I'm wrong, you know, maybe, but in my heart, the whole thing in its entirety, and the reaction, and the size of the person, and the shape of the person, which I'm really good at, I just believe it was the person, man. That's, no one's going to tell me different. And he hasn't been caught, you know, and maybe the person that I saw was, maybe not. Who knows? Just for God to know, man. You know, that's it. And I don't really care what anyone thinks. I've told my daughter, I've told the best friend, I never stated like my story in an entirety. I've left comments about what I saw, but I never left it in detail. And you were the first person to actually get back to me, other than the one time I posted on the actual Kessie site that the father actually called me. It was just like, well, you know, the FBI is on it, and you know, so I can't even like envision what he was thinking at that time, you know, or that period, and maybe to this day still, you know, but it's a sad story, man. It truly is just a very young promising. You know, I got a 21-year-old in college myself, man. So, that's the only thing. And in all honesty, man, I appreciate, you know, you hearing me out. And like I said, no one will ever make me think different because of the reaction and the words that were said. The way that he covered his face and ran off like the devil was chasing him, you know? And you know, almost being hit by a car, too, when he ran away. He ran right across the street. And wow. Those are two signal lanes. And eventually, at the corner, it becomes a two-lane, one to turn and just one to go straight.
Right.
But freaky, man. Just today, like I said, this day, no one will ever tell me different than I didn't see what I saw. And they didn't catch him. They could just, you know,
right.
Detectives are wrong. They could be, you know. And I could have saw the person, and I truly believe in my heart and in my soul, and I could swear on my kids, you know, that I truly believe I saw the person. And that shape, the hair, the bun, the shoes, the elongated shoes, that just, you know, like they just didn't match his body. And for me to observe that, for 4 minutes, I don't know if God put me in that particular spot to observe that, being that I'm a person that is observing, and that's that, man. And people can think and say what the hell they want, and I don't care. The only thing I care about is you know, what I believe and what God, how God judges me, and what I want most, and the only thing that I've ever wanted was that poor family to just get some kind of closure, man. And if that could be, if that can happen, not even with my story, just in general, man, that'd be a beautiful thing. That'd be a really friggin' beautiful thing, you know. And like I said, like I try to call a cop, but it's not like I was calling the cops like every friggin' week or something like this. This is like throughout a span of 11 years. And I think like the last time I called, I can't even remember, man. Probably like 3-4 years ago. I couldn't even be exact. And like I would just leave a comment, you know, and every once in a while, it's a particular video that I thought was sincere in the best interest of the family, as opposed to just like their summation on what they saw and like a more analytical view of it. You guys seem to actually care about her being found, you know, so, or I'm presuming so. So, and the fact that I was able to, now I have like that weight that's just been lifted off. For somebody to presume that I'm like the person of interest, hey, well, you know, I'm 6 foot tall, so, yeah, I don't know. That I'm appreciative of that. I feel like I said what needed to be said, and now I can, like, move on, you know? If the sketch helps, and I drive, so I could, you know, I mean, I'm not going to drive to, like, 2 hours away or something like that.
Right,
but I'm downtown a lot. I go to Lake Eola with my daughter often. I live close to the Hunters Creek area, you know, the Loop. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Okay.
That's all in God's hands, man. Not mine. You know, I did my part. I feel like right now, I'm clear. You know, so.
So that's Ethan's story. Important or not, it's in the open. You now know what we know about what he claims to have seen. And maybe that means that there's a million different opinions. But we're still on the same page. And as you heard Scott tell Ethan, we're going to see about getting him to work with a sketch artist. Because if nothing else, maybe we can compare that sketch to known individuals. And yes, it's probably a long shot. But long shots are better than no shots. In fact, if you're a sketch artist or you know one, please get in touch. Because Scott's been under the weather, we're going to hold your voicemails and social media for next time. And we're going to stop this episode here today. But before we go, I do want to give you an update on the podcast as a whole. Next episode of this podcast won't come out until January. Due to the holidays, travel, and family obligations, we're going to take a brief hiatus, but we will be back in 2018. There's still more work to be done, including looking into a tip we got just this week, which could possibly be interpreted as a confession in Jennifer's disappearance. If you think you may know something about the disappearance of Jennifer Kesey, the time to come forward is now. Make that phone call and end this nightmare. Music in this episode is by Lee Rosevere, and we'll see you in 2018.